Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. I'm born in the USA, and you are too. Thanks for listening to the Mad Dog Podcast. I'm Rick Goreski, and we have a special 4th of July show that did get pushed back just slightly. Today is July 10th, and what we're doing today is we're going to be talking about the rookie draft, the Mad Dog rookie draft, scheduled to start tomorrow, Saturday, July 11th, at 7 a.m. Brian Koch, the owner of the Marauding Minotaurs, is going to be joining me shortly on this particular show. Today the agenda is to go through the different rookies at each position, you know, position by position. We'll just recap the generic top rookies. We'll talk about the ADPs that are out there, talk about who's going to be the first pick, and then we'll lay out some predictions for the first round. We're also going to talk a little bit about some basic IDP information for our league, and that includes position changes on defense. I did get a list that I will post to the league website about position changes that MFL has applied to the website this year. This is, again, due to NFL changes on various depth charts, teams changing from a 4-3 to a 3-4 or a 3-4 back to a 4-3. So we'll get into that and talk a little bit about defense at the end of the show. Right now, let me bring him in, the man, the myth, the legend, Brian Koch. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Oh, thank you, Rick, for having me again.
Oh, no problem. I hope you're fired up for the draft tomorrow. I know I am, and a lot of other guys are.
Well, I'm sure with the top two of the three picks, you know, who wouldn't be?
Hey, come on now. Rookie draft at the end of... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think you have the top three of the top five, right?
I do. Personally, my team has the first and the third pick, and then some first and third pick in the second round as well. So we're feeling really good over at Crazy 7 headquarters. But I think... Most everybody, I mean, guys that love football and love to play fantasy football, we always get excited about that NFL rookie draft. And, you know, having a dynasty league like Mad Dog lets us take it a step further and not just watch the other teams pick their players. We get to step up and pick our players. So why don't we dive in? I was talking before you joined the podcast about kind of the agenda for today. Why don't we start talking about some of the different players position by position? So quarterback... The top quarterbacks this particular year, and I do want to mention off the top here that I have a pre-draft average draft position list for rookies, and this is courtesy of Dynasty Football Warehouse. You can just Google and you can find them and find this list that we're looking at, but this is just a generic listing of where people are taking these particular players. In a draft setting that includes IDP along with offensive players. And that's important because most leagues, you know, it's probably 50-50 or less that leagues that have individual defensive players. So your numbers get skewed when there are no defensive players. But I just want everybody to know and to credit Dynasty Football Warehouse that some of the rankings that I'll talk about, the average draft position, comes from their website. So... Let's kick off quarterbacks, buddy.
Go ahead.
Tampa Bay is the consensus top quarterback available and coming out this year, Marcus Mariota. And then after that, there's kind of a hodgepodge of kind of what's your taste with guys like Grayson from New Orleans and Petty from the Jets. Hundley went to Green Bay. Do you have any other guys that is that pretty much it? Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's about what I have on my track record, too. You know, I mean, I can see Grayson hopefully being a starter within another year or two. Breeze is definitely up there in age, so that's going to be an interesting pick at what point of the draft he goes. You know, you talked about Huntley. you know, there's some pros and cons there. They say he came out of college a little bit too early, that he's not fully developed, that he might not be ready for the pro level. But he might have that situation that Aaron Rodgers had where he sat behind Brett Favre for, you know, for 3 years before he became the starter. And that might be a good growing pain for Huntley there.
Well, there is another guy, too, that I want to mention. I should have mentioned this. Is Sean Mannion is a guy the Rams, if I'm not mistaken, drafted. And there is a lot of kind of quiet talk. That's one of those deep sleeper type guys where Mannion could someday develop into a player for the Rams.
Yeah, you know, with their quarterback situation, they gave up on Bradford, obviously, by trading him away and going ahead and picking up Nick Foles. And Nick Foles, you know, was a surprise 2 years ago. Last year he didn't do any head turning. So it's going to be interesting to see if whether that guy can put it together and take the starting job away from Nick Foles this year or maybe have to wait a year or two yet.
Now, the average draft position for I'm going to toggle back and forth between just offense only and offense and defensively because I find the variations to be really fascinating. Jameis Winston is average draft position without IDP players is coming in at the first pick of the second round. And Marcus Mariota is coming in the fifth pick of the second round. Over when you include defensive players, oddly enough, Winston goes up to an ADP of 1.11, 11th pick in the first round. Mariota sits tight at 2.3. He actually goes up a couple spots. So there's a little variation there.
That's interesting to hear that.
It's clear cut that Winston and Mariota are the only two position player quarterbacks that anybody's really interested in early on in the draft. So why don't we go over to running back? Running back is very interesting. We have just named off some players, Todd Gurley, the Rams, Melvin Gordon of the Chargers, T.J. Yeldon is with Jacksonville. I'm reading off the average draft position, offense only. So this is the order that these players are going in right now per average draft position of various leagues around the web. Tevin Coleman is the fourth running back off the board. Amir Abdullah is fifth. Jay Ayaji, I think is how you pronounce his name, with Miami is sixth. David Johnson, seventh. Duke Johnson, 8. David Cobb, 9. And then you're down to Javoris Allen of Baltimore, Mike Davis, San Francisco, Matt Jones, Washington, Artis Payne of Carolina. These are more, you know, these aren't guys that are going to go early in a draft, but they're guys that are going to go someplace. You know, Josh Robinson of Indianapolis and et cetera. Langford is now the backup over in Chicago. Zach Zenner is a running back drafted by Detroit. You don't hear much about him because Abdullah is taking all the press. Let's see here. Carlos Williams. Okay, Brian, let me know when you're packed together, buddy. So running backs, those are the main running backs this year that are out there. I think everybody's board pretty much has Gordon and Gurley at the top of their list. Yeldon, Abdullah, Coleman are kind of in that next tier, and then it takes a step down, David Johnson, Ayaji, you know, Cobb from Tennessee, Duke Johnson. They're guys that people really like their talent, but they're not that happy with where those individuals wound up. In some cases, you know, they might be splitting carries or it's just not clear cut, or they might be on a bad offense. So Gurley has been talked about as a kind of generational talent. Gordon, we've all seen in Wisconsin and what he can do. He's been compared to Jamal Charles. I've heard Gurley compared to Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch, probably a little closer to Lynch on the spectrum. But, Brian, do you have any thoughts on these rookie running backs?
You know, looking at both of them, I don't know whether I'm just speaking this because it's a homer pick, you know, but if I was going for running back in my draft, I would go with Melvin Gordon. That's where I think the money's going to be at. You know, you still got Phillip Rivers there, who is definitely, you know, he's not in his prime anymore, but he's still good enough to go ahead and carry that team for another, you know, 2 or 3 years until the running back's ready to step up and run with the ball full time and become the next Tomlinson there in San Diego. To go ahead and break it down to the next level, Gurley. Gurley, you know, a lot of talent, you know, but that team is such a mess right now. I can't make heads and tails of the Rams right now with what's going on with their, you know, quarterback, their wide receivers. None of them have had over, you know, 600 yards in a season for the past few seasons. So that's going to be really interesting to see how he fits into that mold and see if whether he can strengthen that team to the next level.
See, I think Gurley. It's funny because you've got this decision in the dynasty setting is, do you take the guy who's going to have more short-term value, which is Gordon? And it's not that Gordon won't have long-term value. It's just if you believe the hype, Gurley is the guy who will have more long-term value, but he's injured. He's got the knee injury that he's rehabbing, so it's a little bit of a risk. It's kind of 1A and 1B, in my opinion, on those guys. You can't go wrong with either of them. Yeldon and Coleman and Abdullah are kind of wild cards at running back because they all had good college careers and they've all flashed talent and they all went to teams that you could see them contributing right away. So somebody could conceivably, you know, Yeldon is going to potentially be the bell cow running back for Jacksonville this year. Coleman's going to have a chance to unseat Freeman, who was unimpressive last year in Atlanta. Abdullah Bell is hurt right now, although he is claiming that he's going to be fine and he's going to run for a minimum 1,200 yards. But people are very impressed with Abdullah's talent. I mean, Ayaji, his knee injury is what kind of knocked him down in the NFL draft. Lamar Miller had a good stretch last year, but he's no lock, so you could see that happening. You got David Johnson in Arizona, where Ellington has been injury prone. David Johnson, kind of same type of player as Ellington, very good catching balls out of the backfield. You could see that guy getting playing time. Duke Johnson in Cleveland, you've got three guys in Cleveland, West, Crowell, and now you've got Duke Johnson in the mix, and a lot of people are really high on him as kind of a sleeper. David Cobb could easily take the job in Tennessee from, what's the young running back in Tennessee from last year? It just escapes my mind, but he was a disappointment last year. He has shown some signs of coming out of it this year, but Cobb is rumored to be a guy who potentially could get some playing time. And then you're down to kind of guys that, you know, do you take Matt Jones in Washington thinking that maybe when Alfred Morris's contract up, he'll take over? Do you bank on, you know, Stewart getting hurt in Carolina and bet that Artis Payne will get a shot at running back down there? Gore is older in Indianapolis. Do you take a shot at Josh Robinson? You know, do you grab, if you're a Forte owner, do you grab Langford? So I think that's a lot of really cool stuff at running back. Very good quality class of running back this year for everybody.
Yeah, you're definitely hitting on all cylinders when you just talked about the running back class this year. You know, a lot of interesting choices out there for owners to have to make decisions on. But it just really kind of comes down to where do they fall in the draft? You know, where do you put that pick?
So, well, let's move over to wide receivers. And you're right, it's always about who goes where. And we'll talk about that hopefully before the podcast is over. We'll get a chance to predict the first round. Wide receiver is a very – it's not as deep as last year, but it's a very good class of quality guys that should have an impact short-term and long-term. Amari Cooper is the top of the class per average draft positions from Oakland. Cooper is followed up by Kevin White, who was drafted by Chicago. Devontae Parker of Miami. Doriel Green-Beckham in Tennessee is fourth. Rashad Perriman, fifth. Nelson Agholor of Philadelphia is sixth. Jalen Strong over in Houston is Nelson is sixth. Jalen Strong is seventh. Devin Funchess, wide receiver, who they didn't know if he was going to be a tight end or a wide receiver. He is classified as a wide receiver for Carolina, and he's eighth. Kevin Hayes. Philip Dorsett, ninth over in Indianapolis, and then you're down into Tyler Lockett of Seattle. Devin Smith of the Jets is 11th, Justin Hardy 12th, Chris Conley 13th over with Kansas City, and Sammy Coates, Pittsburgh, Kenny Bell. I mean, there's the players that I want to talk about in this podcast have already been named. Primarily, the top of the crop here is Cooper, White, Parker, Green, Beckham, Perriman, Aguilar. Those are your top guys, and I find it fascinating. I think Cooper's the clear cut number one, but I find it really fascinating the White and Parker, and I find it really crazy that Green Beckham, who had a lot of maturity issues in college, is up so high because there's so much risk involved there, and it's not a good team. Tennessee's offense has been bad. Kevin White in Chicago has a quarterback that may not be there. They might have a hole in their quarterback position starting, maybe before this season's even over, with Jay Cutler maybe going to get benched. They already tried to trade him. And then Kevin White, although talented as all heck, he's going to be second to Austin Jeffries there. So I think that comes into play as an owner. I think personally that White is a guy who might fall in our particular draft, but White is consensus coming off the board, the second wide receiver taken off the board. Devontae Parker's stock, I think, would be higher if not for the screws that he had to have replaced in his ankle. I believe it was his ankle. He had some injury issues there, but I've heard wonderful things about him. Perriman is poised to be the number one in Baltimore if he can get over the dropsies. Nelson Aguilar in Philadelphia, great offense, lots of balls being thrown around. Talk that he could become their number one wide receiver over time. What do you think, Brian? Any of these guys that you want to comment on?
Well, to go ahead and break it down for you on my end, I do like Devontae Parker. After you, obviously, you have Kevin White and Amari Cooper. But going into that second tier of ball players, I'm really high on Parker. I think Parker's going to go ahead and do a phenomenal job down there in Miami. And then you also have Nelson Aguilar with the Eagles. I think he's going to be another one that can be a surprise in a year or two. You're going to need to give him that little bit of time to develop, but he'll definitely come true for you, I think. To break it down to the next tier three, I would think would be Devin Frances from the Panthers. Hopefully him and Cam Newton can link it together and put something together. I don't think they're going to have that combination that Benjamin and Newton had last year right off the bat. But hopefully they can go ahead and obviously conjoin forces and help that offense get a little bit stronger and get a little bit more feisty.
Let's move on to tight end. There's not a lot here to talk about, but there's a handful of guys. Max Williams was the top of the class, first tight end picked in the NFL draft over in Baltimore. Baltimore, with Dennis Pitta injured, has an opening for somebody to make an impact. Will Williams do it? I don't know. Word out of camp is that a different tight end, which escapes my mind at this moment, has kind of grabbed the reins to be the starter, and rookie tight ends usually do take a year to, they're a little slower to come up and make an impact. But the door is open for Williams to do some good things there. Clive Walford is a very interesting prospect out of Miami. He was drafted by Oakland. Oakland, that's an offense that has lots of opportunity for guys to make an impact. So I wonder if they won't work him in to kind of a pass-catching role during the season where you might see him make an impact and raise eyebrows. And the other guy that I think I'd like to mention is Jesse James. Yes, not the outlaw, but the Pittsburgh Steeler. Heath Miller's getting old, so I think that's actually a really cool dynasty guy to look at. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not really superly impressed with any of the tight end prospects this year. Every year, you're going to find a guy that golden nugget, but I have a hard time trying to see which one's going to go ahead and do it for you.
Not in the tight ends, huh?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, because I haven't done a lot of research on them this year, because I feel very secure at my personal tight end position, in Mad Dog this year, so I didn't really have to do too much homework on the tight end position this year to fill a void on my team.
Well, I tell you what, let's keep it moving then. There really aren't any kickers of note. the rookies to talk about. Over at defensive line, things get very interesting. We have, of course, Leonard Williams as far as defensive tackles. Leonard Williams is kind of a guy that has dynasty value. That's going to be a really good situation. And with the Jets, lots of talent around him, hard to double team guys. That could work out really well. And then we also have Dante Fowler, who was injured early in camp. Shane Ray of the Cowboys, and I'm trying to check my list to make sure that these guys are actually I urge everybody before you draft or think about doing your homework here, make sure you check the website to make sure you see which way these guys are classified. Most of these I do know, but I just want to caution people. Randy Gregory of Dallas, that's a defensive end. Vic Beasley of Atlanta was classified as defensive line. And Eric Armistead, I forget where he went, but that's a guy, too, to mention. So do you have any comments on the defensive linemen? Because that's it. There's not a lot of them, but there's some promising prospects.
Yeah. You know, as far as defensive ends, the ones I like is obviously Elvin Dupree out of Kentucky. I think he's been a phenomenal ball player there. You know, he went to the Steelers, who have always had solid defensive playmakers. So I think that he's going to be a standout there very shortly, maybe by mid-year, maybe by the end of, at the end of his second year. But I think he's going to be a standout prospect real quickly. Then you got Preston Smith, who went to the Jets. The Jets are working real hard to keep that defensive line strong and with full of young talent. I tell you, that could be another really good surprise right there. And then you got the guy who went to the Giants, Umage Abadale, whatever, Jason Pierre Paul, with Jason Paul Pierre, status right now. I mean, he could do some damage right out of the gate to kind of keep JPP's value down. So we'll see what happens with him.
Let's go over to our linebackers where. There is a cast of there's a handful of guys that are kind of I don't know if impact is the right word, but kind of three down players, and then there's a lot of guys with potential, guys that went to spots where maybe it might take a couple of years to get into the lineup, but once they do, maybe that's going to be a really good thing. You have a couple of guys that are more two down linebackers versus three down linebackers. You don't know if you'll see them in coverage, but just to name a few of these guys, you've got Eric Kendricks, who went to Minnesota. Paul Dawson, I think he went to Cincinnati or Cleveland. Let me take a look. Dawson went to Cincinnati. Shaq Thompson, Carolina. Bernard McKinney, I believe, went to Houston. And Stephon Anthony went to New Orleans. Denzel Perriman went to San Diego. Let's see if I got any other guys listed to mention. Oh, Ryan went to Green Bay, of course, in our own backyard here. So those are the linebackers. What do you think?
Before you mentioned when you were talking about defensive ends and linemen, you talked about Vic Beasley going to the defensive end position, and then you got Shane Ray, who's also at the defensive end position. Randy Gregory, I think the word is still out, not really sure which way he's going to be placed yet. But going more to the inside linebacker, I think those are the linebackers that I usually try to target and really get a little bit more sold on. You got Eric Kendricks, who's an inside linebacker for the Vikings. He's a good surprise. I think he can be a guy who can do some damage there. You got Stephon Anthony, another guy for the Saints who needs to fill that void. I don't think Jonathan Vilma is with the Saints anymore. If he is, he's pretty much at the tail end of his career at this point. And then you had mentioned it earlier, the guy who went to the Texans, Bernard Rick McKinney. He was one of the top linebackers picked off the board this year. And it'd be interesting to see what happens with him. And I think that's the guy that I'd be targeting if I was in need of a linebacker.
Yeah, Eric Kendricks is at the top of the class because of the attraction to be a three-down linebacker in Minnesota. Greenway's getting older. The couple of surprise guys that I've heard a lot of talk about, though, is Paul Dawson People are really – there's a lot of buzz around Paul Dawson, and it might take him a little bit to break into the lineup, but I've heard he's incredibly talented. And Shaq Thompson I've also heard is incredibly talented. And, you know, Thomas Davis over in Carolina, he can't last forever. Again, a couple of guys that might take him a little time to break into the lineup, but when they do, for somebody in our league, that's going to really pay off. You know, probably a guy you're going to get mid-rounds, and that'll be a big payoff. But moving over to DBs, last of the position players, there's not a lot here. Landon Collins of the Giants is the top of the class. You do have Deron Smith, Curtis Drummond. You've got some cornerbacks, Trey Waynes, Jalen Collins, Marcus Peters. There's just not a lot there at cornerback and safety. So I think Collins is listed as far as average draft position at the top of the the defensive back list, because he's going to be taking over for the Giants, Artrell Rolle. So can the rookie pick up and roll with it? I don't know. No pun intended. But since we have about 4 minutes left, Brian, I'd like to change gears quickly and talk about position changes for Mad Dog. Since we're talking about defense, I just want to throw these out here that I did get a list of changes where guys went from linebacker to defensive end or vice versa, and I want to just say these. Matt Shaughnessy is with Arizona, went from linebacker classified to defensive end. Lamar Woodley classified from defensive end to linebacker. Marcus Golden, defensive end to linebacker. These are all Arizona. Kareem Martin, defensive end to linebacker. Now we move over to Atlanta. Stansley Mpanga, my God, does anybody even have that guy in their team? Linebacker to defensive end. O'Brien Schofield in Atlanta moves from linebacker to defensive end. Baltimore has Steven Means moving from defensive end to linebacker. Mario Williams over in Buffalo moves from defensive end to linebacker, so that hurts his fantasy value. Jerry Hughes also moving from defensive end to linebacker as Rex Ryan takes over the Buffalo Bills. Manny Lawson moving from defensive end to linebacker in Buffalo as well. In Chicago, there's some dings done to the value of defensive ends again as they move to a 3-4. Lamar Houston moving from defensive end to linebacker. Jared Allen moving from defensive end to linebacker. And Willie Young, defensive end to linebacker. Cleveland has Nate Orchard moving from defensive end to linebacker. Scott Solomon from Cleveland, defensive end to linebacker. DeMarcus Ware in Denver, another defensive lineman hit as he moves from defensive end to linebacker in Denver. Shane Ray moves from defensive end to linebacker. So there's the answer. Shane Ray was drafted. I was talking about him and not knowing whether or not he was classified which way. That's which way he's classified. Shane Ray is going to be a linebacker. Initially was set up to be a defensive end. Jabal Sheard is with New England. He has moved to defensive end from linebacker. He's a defensive end. Geno Grissom has moved to linebacker from defensive end. The Jets have Jason Babin moving from defensive end to linebacker. Max Vallis has moved from linebacker to defensive end. That's with Oakland. San Francisco, Eli Harold moved from defensive end to linebacker. Tampa Bay has a guy named Larry English moving from linebacker to defensive end. And two last guys with Washington, Preston Smith moving from defensive end to linebacker. Jackson Jeffcoat moving from defensive end to linebacker. That's the summary of position changes. I'll post it on the message board and Mad Dog, but I wanted to mention that. And just mention that I think in the future, the league and future rules meetings should talk about trying to think of a way to create a combined edge rusher slash defensive end position, kind of an outside linebacker slash defensive end kind of thing. So, Brian, we got 90 seconds left, a little over a minute, so why don't we try to predict the first round? My predictions for the first round, I think it's going to be Cooper, Gurley, Gordon, Yeldon, Parker, Winston, Abdullah, Aguilar, Mariota, Kendricks, White, and Anthony, the linebacker. The wild cards to me are Perriman and Beasley. Does somebody reach up and take the defensive lineman Beasley in there? And also Winston is a wild card because I currently have him going down to the A team at 6-5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But I could see somebody grabbing him as early as 2. So do you have any thoughts about where things might fall?
You know, it's a very interesting call. I think the top three are definitely going to be Cooper, Gurley, and Gordon right there. But then when you go ahead and stretch out a little bit further, those next three picks, I can see someone going for the one of the top two quarterbacks in those next three. between from 4 to 6, someone's going to take a quarterback, and it's either going to be Winston or Mariota. You got Weiss, who's definitely a phenomenal wide receiver going to Chicago.
10 seconds,
so.
Brian.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Sorry, we ran out of time to talk about this. Well, I tell you man, thanks a lot for joining us on the show. I gotta tie it up. Little Real American Hero as we say goodbye. Thanks a lot for joining us on the Mad Dog Podcast.